really, that song is, I guess, the end result of the message that I'm trying to preach this morning. I remember coming here 32 years ago, and I got up in front of the church and didn't have the wings in it, and had a few people in it. And I wanted to go to the mission field because I was kind of sick of American Christianity. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Lot is an example of it. It's knowing the Lord as Savior, but making no difference. It's having a light, but putting a basket over it, either on purpose or by accident. And I was just sick of that. And I've been praying, Lord, I don't want to go to temple unless it's 100% vote, by secret ballot. And I'd never heard of that, so I figured I was safe. Wouldn't have to come to this D.C. area. Maybe I could stay in Texas. Or maybe I could go to the mission field, wherever the Lord wanted me to go. But I said, look, if you don't want to do right with all of your heart, if you don't want to put the Lord first in your life, young people, adults, husbands, wives, if you're not willing to go all in, then don't vote for me. Because those are the kind of Christians that I want to see grow in the Lord. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. I'm not there yet, but I'm working at it. And I'm not going to give up until I'm pleasing to the Lord. Every day of my life, no mulligans. Well, I'm going to get out today. I'm going to go do what I want to do. No mulligans. I want to do right every day of my life, every minute of my life. When I make a mistake, I want to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. Will you forgive me? And I want to build those kinds of Christians that when you stand before God, you hear two words. Well done. And that's all I care about. But I know that churches are filled with Christians that can't even spell well done. I'm not angry at them, but I know the heart of the Lord is broken. I want to see them step up and say, I do want to do what's right. And so I want to go through a little bit of Lot's decisions. And maybe you and I can look at them and say, well, I kind of made that decision. And then you still got time to say, but I'm not going to do it anymore. Understand this. The great thing about being a Christian is it's not where you've been, it's where you're going. The Lord will bless you. He's a forgiving God. You could have had a horrible life and He'll say, look, if you'll just make up your mind to serve me now, we'll take that in the past and I'll put it behind my back and I'll bury it in the deepest sea and I want you to go on and serve me and let's walk together. I mean, Rahab the harlot, she became a great Christian, was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I mean, God does forgive. Now, you go down through Scripture and you find people that did horrendous things. David was an adulterer and God blessed him at the end of his life. Now he paid a heavy price. You can't take away the price of sin ever. But you can say tomorrow is white and I'm going to keep it white. And so I noticed when I read this passage, I could never understand this passage. You got to understand, I grew up in a Christian home until I was a teenager. And then everything went haywire. And I had so much respect for my parents and for my dad. I never heard my dad curse. I worked with plumbers that were deacons and told dirty jokes. And I said, how can that be? Have you never read James? If any man bridleth not his own tongue, this man's religion is vain. Have you never read that? And I found out they really didn't care when they were with their friends. They only cared when they came to church. They wanted to look good. I said, Lord, please don't let me be like that. I'd rather die and you take me to heaven. But don't let me be like that. It's either all or nothing. And I found that that's the way the Lord wants us. If you have your Bible, look at Revelation, if you would, chapter 3. I want you to notice this verse. Revelation chapter 3. And this is American Christianity. I want you to see this. And I want you to protect yourself. If you're a teenager, if you're a young married, if you're single, if you're married and you've been married 50 years, I want you to notice this. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. This is Revelation 3:15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. Verse 16, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Notice verse 17, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods, and all of us in this room are wealthy if you consider the rest of the world. We could all say this. And knowest not, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, I advise thee, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. He's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about standing before the Lord and losing a life worth of effort to the fiery furnace because nothing was done for his glory. Nothing was done, or little was done for his glory, or little was done with a heart that would please the Lord. It was done to make a show for people to see, but it wasn't between you and your God. And so I read about Abraham and I read about God called him the friend of God. And I noticed that whenever he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, should I tell Abraham? He's my friend. Should I tell Abraham? I'm going to tell Abraham that I'm going to destroy the city where Lot lives in. And Abraham, when he found out, he prayed. He said, Lord, would you destroy a whole city if there were just 50 righteous? And the Lord said, no, I wouldn't do that for your sake. And then he got to thinking about it. And he said, well, there may not be 50 in that city. And he got to thinking, well, Lot is there. Surely he's one himself. I mean, he's saved. I know that. And he's one his wife. And I wonder if his children are saved. And you know, maybe they're married, and maybe there are 10 or 15 of them, and maybe they got some friends. So surely there's 50 saved. And so then he asked, he said, Lord, would it be okay if there was 50 saved, five, just 45 saved? The Lord said, okay, 45. He said, Lord, I'm really sorry, but what if there were 40? 30, 20. And finally, he said, Lord, just this one time, can you get to counting? Surely Lot's led that many to Christ. He's an entire city. And including his own family, he didn't infect for Christ 10 people. That's one of my fears. That we live in a city, we've got to affect more than 10 people. We've got to affect people. You've got to affect people that I can't affect. You've got to let your light shine. I want you to see in this passage the mistakes that he made, the decisions that he made. Now, number one was not a mistake. You'll notice, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says this in verse number 8, for this righteous man. Righteous is the original word dikaios, which means righteous according to the law. He was saved. There was a point in his time, in his life, where he trusted the Lord as Savior. He realized he was a sinner, and he went to the Lord and said, Jehovah God, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me of my sin? And he offered a sacrifice. I realized one of these days you're going to send your son to pay the perfect price. And so until then, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And he was saved. He was born into God's family. He was a righteous man. Now you'll notice verse 8, for that righteous man. And I used to struggle with this passage because I saw Christianity in my home, and then I saw that which didn't pertain to Christianity. And I couldn't put it together. I just said, Lord, don't let me be like that. Lord, please don't let me have a home like that. Let me marry someone that's all in. Someone that loves you more than themselves. Lord, help me to be that way. And so I see here that he was a righteous man. He was just before God. The Lord considered him saved. And you'll notice not only that, but he was the kind of Christian that was concerned about the people around him in his heart. Now notice, and this is the part that I had to struggle with. Notice if you would in verse number 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And this word vexed is to torment. It's to upset. It's to disappoint. So he is in the city. Now keep in mind, he and Abraham are filthy rich. They're so rich, they've got to pick different directions because they don't have enough land for their cattle to graze in. And so Abraham looks at him and says, okay, nephew, he keep in mind, his parents were dead and he had nobody take care of him. So Abraham took him to himself as almost like his own son. And he says, look, I'll let you pick which direction you want to go. He looks at the well-watered plain. He realized Sodom and Gomorrah there. Terrible testimony. But that's the best grazing land. I'll go that way. He pitched his tent toward Sodom so he could open his tent flaps and see the city. Already, something was happening in his heart. Yes, he knew the Lord as Savior, but it all started back then. You have to protect your heart. You'll notice he refused to heed the subtle guidance of the Lord. He had one of the greatest testimonies in Abraham in his whole life. I mean, he could see Abraham, a man that God said is my friend, a man that God talked to personally. He could see Abraham's holy life and he could say, I'd like to be like that. But he set it aside. He didn't follow the example. And so when Abraham comes to him and says, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you pick which direction you want to go. If he would have been a godly Christian, if he'd have been the kind of Christian that the Lord wants, he would have shown respect to the man that had taken care of him and loved him and said, oh, no, not me. You pick where you want to go. I'll take what's left. But that's not what he did. So you begin to see his heart as he refused. He refused to say, I'm going to do the will of God. That's what I want. So you see, he was righteous, but he had this mindset of, I'm going to refuse to do everything that I ought to do. I'll do most of it, but not all of it. And so he chose the well-watered plains toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And you'll notice he didn't have the right respect. And you notice in your heart that if you lose respect for righteous people, for righteousness, for this book, now understand, Lot didn't have a copy of the scriptures. But he had an example, a patterned example of Abraham. But his men fall with Abraham's men. It's like he's trying to climb the ladder. He's trying to get as much as he can. He's the kind of Christian in Revelation chapter 3. Rich and increased with goods, but I want more. I'll take the best land, even though it's towards Sodom. I know about Sodom, but I'm not going to go there. But he turns his tent so he can see it. And I want you to notice this, that it began to affect his heart. I want you to notice, number one, he was righteous. Number two, he refused to do the things that God wanted him to do. But you'll notice, number three, he began to resemble the world. The Bible says, if you have your Bible, notice when, if you would, in chapter 13 of Genesis. We're going to turn there real quickly. Turn to Genesis chapter 13. We're going to read real quickly. Notice, if you would, in verse 8, notice the attitude that Abraham has. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herd and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Now that's the attitude, their attitude of godliness. Look, let's not be in debate about it. Look at verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So he gives him the choice. And here's this young man that has the chance to say, I'm going to give my uncle the opportunity to choose because he deserves it more than me. Verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar, then Lot chose him. You see the selfishness of his heart? He chose him. Now, I want you to notice another thing. You'll not find one time in Scripture where Lot prayed to God. So now understand, Christianity is you can be a Christian, you can know the Lord, and you can have some principles in your heart that grieve you. And when there are other people around them. But do you really spend time with the Lord and say, Lord, I need to know what you want me to do. Do you want me to go this way or do you want me to go this way? Do you want me to choose or do you want me to let Abraham choose? No prayer. And folks, you cannot do what's right. You cannot walk close to the Lord. You cannot be all in unless you're consistently saying, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Lord, how can I please you here? Father, is this the right direction? Every day I get up, Lord, help me to make the right decision. Lord, give me wisdom about this. Lord, help me to be a blessing to the teachers. Lord, help me to be a blessing to anybody that calls me today. Lord, I pray you'd help me be a blessing when I go over and pray with so-and-so before the surgery. Lord, would you help me to do the right thing today? You cannot do the right thing unless you're constantly on your knees before the Lord saying, Lord, would you guide my steps today? Lot didn't pray. He chose the well-watered plains. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 12. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now understand, if you don't want Sodom, but you like the fields, you take your tent and you pitch it where the door doesn't face Sodom. He pitched his tent toward Sodom so his heart could long for it. You've got to protect your heart. If you don't want to resemble the world, if you don't want to be like the world, if you don't want to have the verbiage of the world, the attitude of the world. And that's a part of the reason why Christians ought to be different. We've got to be a light. We've got to be cheerful when other people are sad. That's one of the things I so respected about my wife. She had no legs. She couldn't see very well. She was on dialysis every day. And yet when I'd walk in there, she's cheerful. You can't do that in your own strength. I would call her up and I would get ready to come to church and she would sit down in her wheelchair and start to weep. And she said, but I want to go to church. I said, honey, I'm sorry. That was not Lot's heart. He pitched his tent toward the most wicked city on the face of the earth. He didn't mind being like them. Now, I want you to notice, then he goes into the city. And we're not going to take a lot of time there, but I want you to notice, turn over if you would, in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And notice with me if you would, in verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Now, this is right after, you'll notice chapter 18, where Abraham has pled with God that if there's 10 righteous people there, he wouldn't destroy the city. And God said, okay, look at verse 33. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Abraham talked with God. Young people, I want you to be able to talk with the Lord yourself. I don't want you to have to wait and say, Mom, would you talk to the Lord for me? Or Dad, would you talk to the Lord for me? I don't want a wife to say, honey, would you talk to the Lord for me? I can understand, would you pray with me, but don't pray for me. And here Abraham is pleading with God to spare this city for Lot's sake. 10 people. And I guarantee you Lot had 10 family members in that city. And Abraham counted them up and got from 50 to 10 and said, well, it's okay. And Lot went on his way and said, Abraham went on his way and said, the city's spared. I'm okay. He had no idea that Lot made zero difference. Lot didn't even win the heart of his wife. Folks, we can't live like that. Our God is too wonderful. He's too precious. He loves us too much. You've got to love Him enough. I've got to love Him enough to want to affect the people closest to me. That's why you want to live right in your home. You want your wife to respect you with the utmost. You want your husband to respect you to the utmost. You want your children to look up to you and say, boy, I respect my dad. I respect my mom. But you can't do that if we're losing our temper and yelling and screaming and we're cursing and telling dirty jokes, or if we're always talking about money and a job and this thing. I want to get this raise and I want to have that car and I want to have this house and I want to get these clothes. And that was Lot. He resembled the world. Notice, if you would, in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 1, we see it. Notice, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. He was a political leader in Sodom. He was a financial leader in Sodom. There were people sit at the gates that were the most important people of the city. And they sat at the gate. He's one of the chief men of the city. But he couldn't win 10 people, including his whole family. So he wanted to fit in. He wanted to fit in and to blend in. I don't want the Christians, the Temple Baptist Church, to fit in and to blend. I want you to be different. I don't want you to be weird. I want you to be holy. I want you to be like Christ. I want you to have the spirit of sweetness and grace. You'll know my disciples by their love. I want you to have that. But I want you to have a backbone of steel that somebody else is cheating or lying. You're not going to be a part of it. There are churches all over the place where you come as you go, leave as you came. It's okay. I don't want that here. I want you to come as you are and the Lord change your heart and you go away different. Every service, this is sermon 3,975. And there's none of them that I came in and said, well, this won't matter. I'll just wing this one. I want all of them to matter. I want them to matter for your sake, for His sake. I've got to stand before God for this message this morning. And for the message Wednesday night. So none of them are not important. All of them have a purpose and a reason. And this one this morning is, I don't want you to be like Lot. I want you to see, number one, Lot was righteous. He was saved. He knew the word of his Savior. But he refused to do the things that a Christian ought to do. He didn't have respect for the leadership that was around him, like his uncle, the godly Christians. He didn't go to them for advice. The Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counselors. That's why we've got to have godly older men and older women in this place. The Bible says in Titus, the older women teach the younger women, and the older men teach the younger men. Without that, we're in trouble. And so we've got to then teach our children. Our children can't be like they were in Joshua's day, where there rose up a generation that knew not the Lord. We can't let that happen. And so today I look at this and I see Lot was righteous, but Lot refused to respect people and to have the attitude. He just wanted to climb the ladder. And then I see that he wanted to resemble the world. He wanted to be like Sodom. He wanted to be in the city of Sodom. You don't turn your tent so you can drool over the city and all the financial opportunities there are in the city. You say, Lord, which way do you want me to pitch my tent? We're servants. We're the Lord's. We don't get to pick our own things. We're servants. But the Lord gives us the desires of our heart. It's an amazing philosophy. God says, look, if you choose your own way and you refuse to choose my way, you're going to wreck things. But if you'll let me choose for you, if you'll just give me the reins of your life, I will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what's better than that? I turn around and look back at my life, and I look back on my life and I say, Lord, thank you for letting me make that decision. Thank you for letting me make that decision. Lord, how did I make that decision when all that I was facing? Lord, it must have been just you. And I go back to my life and I built the right houses. I bought the right land. I came to the right church. I had the right friends. I had the right wife. I mean, everything in my life was right. I look back and say, Lord, thank you. I didn't do that. I can't take credit for that. But the Lord gives you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in Him. He promises to do that. And that's what I want for you. When you get a little older and you turn around, look, you got more days behind you than in front of you. I want you to look back and look back with joy, not with disgust. I want you to notice here that the angel says to Lot, get out of the city because I'm going to destroy it. And Lot, notice if you would, in verse number 15 of chapter 19, Genesis 19:15. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot and said, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And notice what he does. And while he lingered, he still didn't want to leave. He knew God was going to burn the city and he still didn't want to leave. Now understand, he couldn't even get his own sons-in-laws and daughters-in-laws to follow him. Notice if you would, you can see in verse number 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. I want you to know something. If I speak to Jeremy or Mandy, I don't want them to discount it and say, he doesn't matter. I want to have lived a life of 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, that it has impact. It's a light that they see it and say, I've got to listen to that. Now, I've got to make my own decision. But if they would have, if he would have followed Abraham, he would have never lost his wife. He would have never lost his children. I want you to understand. Oh, you see, the last thing you've got, he was righteous. He refused to follow the leadership that God had given him. And he resembled the world. He made a decision to resemble the world, to be like them, to sit in the gate with them, to turn his tent towards Sodom. But you noticed, he reaped the results of all of his wrong decisions. He says, look, today, God is going to bring down fire from heaven. Yeah. No, I mean it. You got to get out of the city. And they mocked him. People don't mock people they respect. And so he said, please go. And so finally he's got two daughters that are left. Now if you count them up, he and his wife, his two daughters, that's four, and sons, plural, in-law, we don't know, at least two, that's eight. And I'm sure he had more than two. So there's the 10 people that Abraham was pleading for. And so Lot knows that God's fixing to destroy the city and he's lingering around. What was he lingering for? Maybe he was trying to get some possessions that were important to him, take a picture or take something with him that he wanted. Or maybe he was still trying to get some of his brother-in-law, his sons-in-laws to follow him. But you'll notice in verse 15, and when the morning arose, verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife. His wife wasn't going either. They were both hooked in the city. Both of their hearts were in the city. He catches them both and upon the hand of his two daughters, both of his daughters. They said, we love it here, Daddy. Why do we have to leave? It's a city filled with immorality and ungodliness and dishonesty. And he sits in the gate. So he closed his eyes to it, but it bothered him in his heart. But apparently he never said things about it in his family. He didn't teach them what was right. And he didn't expect them to follow him. You'll notice in verse 16, and they brought them forth and set him outside the city. In verse 17, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, this is the angel, escape for thy life. Now, if an angel tells me run for your life, I'm not going to say how far. When do you want me to start running? I'm going to start getting it right that second. Notice what he says. He said, now listen, he said, escape for thy life and look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all this plain. Escape to the mountain lest thou be consumed. In other words, I'm going to destroy everything around you in this plain. Now that was the city of Zoar. That was all the little cities around. They had all got infected by the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, get to the mountain. That's the only safe place. And you know what Lot said? He says, oh, I'm afraid of the mountain. Could I just go to that little city of Zoar? It's just a little city. Look, if you would. In verse number 20. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto. It is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? It's just a little bit sinful. It's not like Sodom. And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I've accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee and escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come hither. So I can't destroy anything until you're gone. And so he goes to this other little city. And do you know, he's got that city spared, not because he was doing right, but because God had a soft heart and said, okay, Lot. I'll let you stay in that city. He was always asking for compromises to the will of God. You cannot do that and be righteous before God. You cannot ask, well, Lord, could I just say a few words that would not be maybe off color words? And could I just use those words? Could I just have a few of the wrong kind of friends? Could I just do a few? In other words, he's saying it's a little city. It's just a little bit of what Sodom and Gomorrah is. The Lord's not going to make you and I do what's right. This is the permissive will of God. Okay, you can go to Zoar, but that's not what I want. I want you to get out of the wickedness. Well, you see what it cost him? Notice, Lot does not look back. He is righteous enough to say, I'm not going to look back. I know what the angel said. I've pushed him far enough. I'm just going to go to this Zoar. And then all of a sudden his wife turns and looks back and says, oh, I love that city. Turns to salt. He loses her. Then you know he committed immorality with his two daughters. Just horrible circumstance. And I'm certain while he wakes up in a Sunday morning in Zoar, he said, I've wasted my life. My daughters have done the wrong thing. My wife is gone. My family's been destroyed. He turns and looks back and says, I blew it. I don't want that for you. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to 2 John. 2 John. Right in front of Jude, Revelation. Take note of this verse. Verse 8, 2 John 8. 2 John's only one chapter. Look to yourselves. It is my responsibility. Now, I want you to notice this. It's not my responsibility to watch out for Brother Larry. It's not my responsibility to watch out for Brother Mark. It's each one of us, our own responsibility. Look to yourselves that we, as individuals, lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now take your Bible and turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'll close. I want you to see what he means when he says, look to yourselves that we lose not that which we have wrought. Notice, if you would, in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. If you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now he pictures, Paul, the writer here, pictures our life like a building that you're going to build. Your life is a building. I'm going to build with your life. You let me, I help you build. I'll give you the right, I'll do everything with you and help you, and I'll strengthen you. So he said, you've got to have the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's salvation. You'll notice that you can't build on any other foundation other than Jesus Christ. Look at the last verse, word of verse 10. This is 1 Corinthians 3:10. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So, teenagers, watch out how you're building your life. Adults, watch out how you're building your life. You can build it like Lot. You can turn your tent so you can see the big city. You can sit in the gate and be successful. But you can't, there's no U-Hauls behind the hearse. You don't take one dime with you. You can take people with you. That's it. You can take your children and your grandchildren with you. You can take your wife and your husband with you. But you cannot take one nickel with you. So notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, those are things that are pleasing to God. Sweet attitudes. Right words. A right word is like an apple of gold and pictures of silver. Where let every word be pleasing in your sight. Let your speech be always with grace, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Are you daily praying, Lord, help my speech to be right today? Hey, I don't ever have to pray, Lord, don't let me curse today. Lord, don't let me tell a dirty joke today. Don't let me watch pornography on my computer when it comes up or on my phone. Lord, don't let me do that. I don't have to pray about that. I have to pray about, Lord, help me to have my words right before you. There are some things that a Christian ought to be far in their past. They made those decisions a long time ago. To think the wrong thoughts about your mate. I made that decision a long time ago. I'm not doing that anymore. My challenge is, Lord, help me to do everything that's right today. Lord, help me to find the right thing. I'm looking for the right thing. I'm not looking for the thing that pleases me. If you like that, you like Lot. You'll notice, if you would, he says this, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. So your life, day by day, is going to be made manifest. How is it? Well, notice, if you would. For the day shall declare it. That's the day of judgment for Christians. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Notice, if you would. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And the Bible says in Matthew that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And the Bible says in Revelation 20 that the books are open. So that tells me that God is writing everything you and I do and say and think in a book. And it's done day by day. And when we step foot in heaven, He's going to reward us. He's going to welcome us home. And it's going to be a wonderful day if we lived right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says, when you see Him, that you're not ashamed. If you and I don't live right, and I'm warning you, and I'm pleading with you, and I'm encouraging you to say, look, let's choose today. We're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be the best Christian I can be for your sake, Lord Jesus. And your children can look at Him and say, I want to be like Mom. Your children can say, I want to be like Dad. Now, no matter what decision you make, I'm going to pray for you and love you. Just like Jesus Christ does. But I'm going to tell you this. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. In other words, if what you've done for Christ pleased Him, were things that He wanted you to do, you made a difference. You let your light shine in a dark place. Then you've got a reward coming. But notice verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But listen to this. But he himself shall be saved. It's not about salvation. The foundation is permanent. Salvation is eternal. You can't lose that. But you can lose all that you live for. You know, I have been around some people. I remember going into one hospital room years ago, and I had a. It was my duty to go to hospitals on Mondays in Chicago and in Dallas. And I had a hospital list that I would go to all the different hospitals, Parkland and Richards and all the different hospitals over in North Dallas. And I'd drive around all of them. I'd go into the hospital room, sit down with people and try to encourage them, try to talk with them. And there was this one, was going into this gentleman, and he was dying, and he knew it. He had only a few days to live. And I said, you know, Lord, help me to be a testimony to him. Help me to be an encouragement to him. You know, I'm 20-something years old, and this man's in his 60s, and his life is going to end in 2 or 3 days. Help me to be a blessing to him. Lord, help me to make sure he's saved. Lord, help me to be a blessing to him. Walked into the room. There's this guy sitting there. I can tell he's not well, but there's this glow about his face. Hi, how are you? Caught me off guard. I said, I'm fine. I'm Pastor Pittman. Oh, Pastor Pittman, are you one of the pastors at our church? He hadn't been there a long time. Yes, I am. Boy, it's great to see you. How are you doing today? I said, you're the one dying. You're asking me how I'm doing. When I left that room, I said, Lord, help me to die like that. He made an impact on my life. And that's the way Susan died. The doctors came up to me and said, you know what? Your wife, she was concerned. Oh, she's concerned about how the nurses are doing. And she's dying. And I said, that's her. That's her testimony. I want that testimony of that man for you. So when you come to the end of your life, you can turn around and look back and say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a reward in heaven. You can't buy it. You can only live it. I grew up in a home where it was lived the first part of my life and none thereafter. But you know what I found out? Nobody can make me do what's wrong. But nobody can make me do what's right. I have to choose. I want to tell you this. I'm not going to take any money from this church. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to do those things because not because you'd find out and kick me out. You ought to. But because I got to stand before him. And I want to account for every penny and every thought and every word. I want it to please him. And then by that, let my light shine. Today, is your light shining? Are you making a difference? Do people know you're God's child? Do they respect you for it? Are you like Abraham, whom God personally talked to, or like Lot? Where God had to get an angel to drag him out of the city by his hands. Today, Lot paid a heavy price. Look to yourselves that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. 2 John verse 8. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, today I ask that you would touch our hearts today. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see that Lot wanted to resemble the world. Lord, I don't. And I know you don't want us to, Lord. You don't want us to be weird, but Lord, you want us to be different. Lord, you want us to be godly and modest and righteous and holy. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, the people of Temple Baptist Church, be a people that love you so much that we're willing to do whatever you want us to do. We won't refuse a thing, Lord. We just want to please you. Father, would you speak to hearts today? And Lord, there are those here that maybe have never trusted you as Savior. Would you help them come this morning and us be able to lead them to you like you had someone lead me 54 years ago? Lord, I want people to know they're on the way to heaven. If there are people struggling with that, Lord, help them come this morning. Give them the strength and courage to get out of their seat and to come. Lord, your name we pray. Amen.